This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah al-azim al-khabir al-muta'ali. Alhamdulillah al-ladhi la tuhjibuhu zulumat al-layali. Alhamdulillah al-ladhi arsal jibal al-awali. Subhanahu min ilahin azim yaghfiru al-dhunub wa la yubali. لا إله إلا الله بها نحيا وبها نموت وبها نلقى الله وبها نوالي وأشهد أن عظيمنا وقدوتنا ومولانا قرة عيني محمد ابن عبد الله عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة فكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله أما بعد. My beloved brethren, most respected elders, mothers and sisters, so this is the month of Muharram for us in our calendar and in the Islamic calendar. And the Islamic calendar is known as the Hijri calendar. And Hijra is in reference to the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. So I will just start with a little description to create an awareness of what Hijra was and in what context it came, and then derive some lessons for us so that we can take and benefit from moving forward, inshallah ta'ala. So the story goes that Allah Rabbul Izzah summoned our Prophet to the office of prophethood. So the Muhammad ibn Abdullah became Muhammad Rasulullah. And Allah Rabbul Izzah tasked him with the mission to call people to the worship of the One Mighty Lord. So the Rasul came to humankind and to the people and made this declaration, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. Testify, make the declaration, make the proclamation that there is none worthy of worship save one mighty Allah, and success will be yours. You see, you've just heard it and you utter it with relative ease. Yet you're only able to utter it with relative ease because of the sacrifices that the first generation had to go. Otherwise, it's a revolutionary statement. Let me give you some context. So imagine this scene. The Kaaba is there. 360 gods inside it and outside it, idols. Surrounded by a sensitive Arab population. You know, with swords on their sides and passion riding high, and their devotion to their idols unprecedented. Like there are stories from the seerah in which a single individual sacrificed 100 camels for one of their idols. Like my parents tell me, sometimes you speak harsh. But trust me, I need to say this bluntly. Like I swear this to you. There is not a person in this audience that has sacrificed 100 camels for Allah, forget about any idols. Do you know the type of passion, commitment, devotion, love you've got to have to go and get 100 camels and butcher it as a sign of devotion for an idol? So, loyalty was there, fidelity was there, passion was there, devotion was there to the other gods. And yet Muhammad Mustafa comes with this declaration. La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship save the one mighty Allah. To the one that is worshipping this, you say this is not worth worshipping. Only Allah is worth worshipping. And not only that, لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. So they say, what about our forefathers? So Allah said the story of Ibrahim. This tell them, you and your fathers were in manifest error. So natural reaction was abuse started, torture started, imprisonment started, execution started. You know the stories. Bilal was tortured and Sumayya was executed and Ammar was baked on coals and others were imprisoned and people started to migrate and the Rasul alayhi afdal as-salatu wa atam al-taslim is not allowed to do anything except by the exclusive decree of the heavens and the permission of Allah Rabbul Izzah. This is prophethood. So 13 long years he bore the brunt of this. And after 13 long years, at the peak of the story, they planned his execution, that we will execute him and rid ourselves of this problem. But it's a tribal system. You see, I don't know if you are familiar with tribal systems. You see, tribal system. The rule is, you help your brother whether he is right or wrong, whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. So the immediate tribe of the Prophet, Banu Hashim, would not give up the Rasul. So if someone attacked him, they would be fought back. Now, no tribe wants to get into an internal fight with Banu Hashim, so what to do? So they created an alliance, all the other tribes together. Each one of us would give forth a warrior, and they would all go to Muhammad together. Each one would stab him one stab, and then the weight of the blood will be distributed amidst all of the tribes of Mecca. That way Banu Hashim cannot fight all the tribes by itself. So the decision came that we will send warriors each, some 40 according to some books, and we would wait for him to come, and then everyone stab once. And then, so as they made the plan and they've set it in motion and the warriors are ready, and Jibreel comes. Ya Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, your people are planning your execution. Allah commands you to migrate. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his house, he has amana, trust that people have trusted him with, you know, this one's money and this one's wealth and this one's treasures. And there's a fascinating point here, a lesson for all of us. They fought him, and at the same time they couldn't help but trust him. Like, they deposited their wealth and property with him because of the person he was. Yet at the same time, they were antagonistic enough towards him to warrant them coming to try to assassinate him. So I want to teach the first lesson here, dear ones, moving forward into our new year. In your study, in your conduct, in your work, in your lives, in your friendships, become people that whether they like it or not, they have to rely on you. I say that again. In your work, in your study, in your friendship, become people that others are forced to rely on whether they like it or not, just because of the trustworthiness of your nature. Little things. When you're at work, you're on the boss's clock. don't go on social media. It doesn't suit you. It takes from your conduct. Although it might, but you're still on his clock. They didn't accidentally trust the Prophet. They had no reason not to trust the Prophet. Don't give people reason because of moments of weakness. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went about to give people's properties back, and then assigned Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin, young man, to listen. This belongs to that person. Go give it to him on this day, and so on. And he left this place and went to the house of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Now Abu Bakr was anticipating that, you know, the order of migration would come, so I better be prepared. So he had already purchased a couple of camels, strong, sturdy creatures, had been feeding them for some time the best grains of Mecca, preparing them and rehearsing with them, so that they can do the long trek without a problem, 450 kilometers to Medina al-Munawwara. So now the Rasul comes to the house of Abu Bakr. Imagine, because you don't imagine well, you know, the scenarios, and I don't say this because think deeper. Imagine a society in its entirety has decided on assassinating you. It's not a comfortable moment. You know, if two of your neighbors decide to egg your house, you will have sleepless nights. You know who's doing it. What is it? So if people are gonna come to assassinate, it requires guts and courage and, you know, bravery and stamina and all the rest of it. So at this, in that climate, the Rasul goes to the house of Abu Bakr on high alert, and his command, Bi Abi Huwa wa Ummi, Ya Abu Bakr, vacate the house. Empty the house. Why? Because I need to share a top secret. So Abu Bakr says, Ya Rasulullah, this is your own house. That is your betrothed Aisha. That is your sister-in-law. This is your own family. So say what you need to say. So he says, Allah has ordered my migration. So he asks the question, إِذَنْ أَصُّحْبَةُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Then companionship, O Prophet of God, like I am the one that will accompany you in Hijrah. So the Rasul nodded. Our mother Aisha says, it is the first time, she's a young lady, you know, girl at this time, it is the first time that I saw someone cry out of happiness. That I get the exclusive privilege of being the servant of the Rasul on this journey. And such an immense journey that Umar says with regards to it, I would the life of Umar and the progeny of Umar for a day and night in the day in the life of Abu Bakr, in reference to this day and night as in the day and night of Hijrah. Like I would swap my life and the life of my family in the courts of Allah for this one day and one night. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sends the camels to the guide, you know, the one who would show them the back ways. Abdullah ibn Uraykat, remember the name, he was Jewish. So the camels were sent to them. Abu Bakr is ready to leave, he's taken whatever wealth, money he has, and they were waiting for the order when to leave. The Rasul goes back home. Darkness falls, night comes, and the warriors gather outside the house of the Rasul. And when they gather, he can see them through the crack of the door, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Blades drawn, waiting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Ali ibn Abi Talib that, Ya Ali, sleep in my bed. Take my shawl over your head. In my bed, pretend to be me. Visualize. Whoever's in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means he's waiting to be assassinated. That's a different type of heart, you know. And that is why it is the heart of Ali. You know, in the battle of Khaybar, he went, and in the olden days used to chant before they come out, you know, when warriors used to meet one another. So the warrior of the other side came, proud, cocky, arrogant on his horse, you know, and he said his verses, I am this and this, and now it's on Ali radiallahu anhu to respond. So he responds with these couplets. He says, أَنَا الَّذِي سَمَّتْنِي أُمِّي هَيْدَرًا كَلَيْثِ غَابَاتِي كَرِيهِ الْمَنْظَرًا. I am the one whose mom called him a lion when he was a baby. You know, they say she held him and he gripped on her hair. And she was trying to get his hand off and she couldn't, so she called him my little lion. So he says, I am the one whose mom called him a lion when he was a kid, you know. Now as an adult, from you look at me, you'll get scared, you know. So the heart of a lion now sleeps on the bed. And I want to take another lesson here, because that's important. Notice that in difficulty, in hardship, there's only very few people who will stick around. So surround yourselves with people who will be there in difficult times. Surround yourselves with people. If you need a friend, have one that will be there in difficulty. Because the English utterance is correct, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Everyone else is just there to have fun. And third point, when you want to be a friend, make sure you can stand the difficult moments of life. Otherwise, tell the man, Habibi, listen, I just like the fun part and difficulty, have someone else around. So, important, second lesson, third lesson. The numbers will disappear because I'm on stage, I'll forget. So anyway, next point. So now, Ali ibn Abi Talib sleeps in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Rasul watches through the crack, and then opens it and walks out, reciting, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ صَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ صَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبُصِرُونَ. And we put a barrier in front of them and a barrier behind them, blind that they couldn't see. So the scholars of Sira say the Rasul walked through them and as a point picked up some sand and placed it on each of their heads like this, like I was here. And there was a person who saw him from afar, like, what's Abu Qasim doing? You know, and why are these people standing with him, putting sand on there? So they waited. And another point, a noble point. You should ask yourself the question, why haven't they jumped in and killed the man? You see, even them, they had a code of honor. The code was, if we jump into a man's house at night, he's with his family, they might be ill-dressed or, you know, not ready for this. And the Arabs would never let us live down the shame that we jumped into the house of another man whilst he was with his family and it is with his women. So even an animosity have a degree of honor, because that's noble. So the Prophet ﷺ walked, went to the house of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Now Medina is this way. You with me? Medina is this way. The Rasul migrated that way. But he's going to Medina. But the aim is to go to Medina. But instead of going that way, he went the opposite direction, some 3 kilometers to a mountain which would go up, and that's would reach the famous cave called Ghar al-Thawr. Anyone been to Al-Arathaw? Show me your hands. Allah bless you. I climbed 2.5 hours, I think. 2 hours and a bit. It's got stairs now. They've cut stairs into it. But a relatively young person, relatively fit person, I got halfway up the mountain and I looked down and cars looked small. And my legs are aching. So I look like, whoa, where am I going to go down? And then I looked up, like, where to go that way? You know, there was no way up, no way. I felt like crying, you know, out of desperation. Like, who told you to come here? So anyway, but the Rasul, alayhi afdalu salatu wa atammu taslim, did it. How old? Huh? I'll help you. So at 40 he became a prophet. 13 years he was in Mecca. 53. What type of shoes? Not Nikes. Important point. And no stairs. So it's a mountain he has to climb. I'm assuming 3 to 4 hours to climb up. Against the advice of my parents, I say it. Like, climbing is a vertical thing. You couldn't exercise for 4 hours on a horizontal thing. So 3 hours walk, no, 3 kilometers walk, 3-4 hours climb. Shoes, not our type. Basically, the blessed feet of the Rasul started to bleed. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would help him carry him a little bit. So here's my next lesson for you for the start of our new year. Dear ones, be or aspire to become fit and healthy. Your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fit and healthy. And I don't want the sisters to think, yes, brothers, be fit and healthy. You know? Muslim women were the same. It established from the seerah that Khadija radiallahu anha, who by consensus is older than the Rasul, used to go to Ghar al-Hira with him when he was 40. Trust me, climbing a rocky, rock, hot mountain, difficult challenge. To walk from Mecca to Ghar al-Hira, difficult challenge, but she could do it. As in, there is health and there is fitness. But sadly, in our times, there's one or two exercises we're very good at. Do you want to see it? It goes like this. A lot of practice on that, mashallah. But dear ones, a strong Muslim is better than a weak one. A healthy mind is in a healthy body. Live fuller lives. Allocate time in your busy days for your own physical well-being. This is an amana Allah gave you. It is your duty to keep it at its best operating system, if you like. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went down up to Ghar al-Thawr, and he would wait there for 3 days. And the story is Abu Bakr's son and servant would, you know, sneak and bring food and news, and then they used to use sheep to cover their tracks. And then there, in that cave, an amazing thing happened. So the next day, you know, the people came, waited for the doors open, and Muhammad's not there, and Ali radiallahu anhu walked out. So they rushed to the house of Abu Bakr, knowing he would probably be there. They even slapped the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And from there, they put 200 camels as reward on them, like whoever catches them, or dead or alive, 200 camels. Like imagine 200 Hondas, not even Mercedes. It's, you understand me, it's a big deal. So every man and his dog, if forgive the statement, is looking for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want to mention, because the Shaykh did the miracles of the Quran, so I want to mention some of them. Otherwise, I will feel left out, you know, I didn't do any miracles. So he went to Ghar al-Thawr, and there he's, you know, Ghar al-Thawr is a very different. Sheikh, have you been to Ghar al-Thawr? So Ghar al-Thawr, you see that table, I don't know how to describe this, but you kind of enter at this level, like the mouth of the cave is here, you enter. You gotta keep your head down. And then once you go, there's a little table, like a rock table. You climb on that and you can sit on that. Am I making sense? So like you enter from there, but you sit on that table. And then it's got another opening from the back, like at the top. So if someone looks down, they can see you from the top. And down the bottom, if someone puts their head up above the table, like, you know, they can see on top of the table. And subhanAllah, it's amazing, you know, amazing. The Sheikh said something beautiful. He goes, no verse of the Quran is accidental. And our belief is, Musabbibul Asbab is Allah Rabbul Izzah. And it is as though Allah fixed everything perfectly aforetime for His Prophet. Because if it was a normal cave, you could see as soon as they can. But he's put that little table in there so that you have to put your head down, make that extra little bit of effort to see if there's someone there. So they came, the trackers found them, found the footprints at the base of the cave, at the base of the mountain. And subhanAllah, the utterance is amazing. So the tracker looked at the footprints, he goes, as with regards to this one, this is the son of Quhafa. You know, Abu Bakr ibn Abu Quhafa. This is from that one. And this footprint is like your companion in Mecca. In reference to, I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal. Like whoever gets this right, hold on. I'll give you 50 Australian dollars. Serious. Whoever gets this right. And this is like the one, like your companion in Mecca. I'll help you out. Whose footprint is in Mecca? MashaAllah, come here, Habib. So this footprint is like the footprint in Mecca. And this is confirmed by the hadith of the Prophet that the closest in resemblance to my father Ibrahim is me. Like even at their footprint level, similar. So they climb up how many hours? 3 to 4 hours climb. And the only thing remaining is this cave. They're like, why have you climbed 4 hours if you're not going to look inside the cave? So they come to the mouth of the cave. And one of them, one narration, goes up to the top to answer the call of nature, goes behind the cave. So if he's there, if he looks down, he will see them. The ones at the front, they put their heads up and down, they can see them. You know, between a rock and a hard place, this is it. So you would expect him to be nervous, worried, you know, but the faith in Allah Rabbul Izzah. And Abu Bakr is perturbed, nervous, so the Prophet ﷺ says, لا تحزن Inna Allah ma'ana. Don't be worried, Abu Bakr. Allah Rabbul Izzah is with us. The Quran says, ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. I will give one more, and then I will draw my next lesson. So this finished. Allah saved them from here. And there is another story about this, the web of the Ankabut and the eggs of the doves, but the evidence is not established. Like, as our Sheikh said, the actual chain of narrations, that does not go a solid all the way up. So then he comes out, goes towards Medina after the search has subsided 3 days later. Now on the way, news has gone far and wide. Whoever catches Muhammad and his companion, so every Arab now is looking for Muhammad and Abu Bakr and their guides. So news came to a tribe towards direction of Medina that this man they're looking for. So one of the shepherds, local people that had gone, came back to the tribe and said, I at the horizon I saw a few people walking. It might be the one the Quraysh are looking for. So amidst them is a person, Suraqa ibn Malik. So Suraqa heard what this person is narrating that I saw. He goes, no, just one of our own tribes, nothing to worry about. And then left quickly, went to his servant, he says, get my horse and my weapon ready. Because 200 camels, you're not going to give it up to the other person, yeah? So he goes, no, that's our own tribesman, but he knows that this is lottery. So took his horse, took the weapon, rushed towards that direction, saw them from afar, takes his weapon out, runs, and Abu Bakr sees him running, galloping towards them. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, look. So the Prophet ﷺ looked and turns and makes dua, Ya Rab, suffice me his evil any way you choose. So Allah Rabbul Izzah dug the legs of the horse into the ground and the man fell off the horse. So he got up and he said, tries to pull his horse out. And in one of the narrations, he says, Ya Muhammad, I come with no harm. Pray to your Lord to release me from this. So Muhammad said, so he came back out, got up again, the dollar signs went in his eyes again, went again, and the Prophet made the dua again, O Lord, suffice me his evil any way you choose. This time the horse went deeper. And now he knows, and as he got up, this time there was a whirlwind that caught him, and he said, I realize that the man is out of bounds, I'm not supposed to touch him. So the same one that has come to kill him now comes to him. He says, give me a certificate to say I am safe. Like, promise me safety. So the Prophet tells Amr, write for him. So he said, from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, Suraqa ibn Malik is guaranteed safety from Allah and his Messenger. So Suraqa said, there was 200 camels, I could have got 200 camels that went now as well, so write some financial thing as well. Promise. So the Rasul said, A'iduka sawari al-Qisra. I promise you the wristbands of Qisra. So he goes, the emperor? He goes, yes, the wristbands of the emperor. He goes, write it. So Amr wrote it, gave it to Suraqa. Suraqa went. The Prophet ﷺ reached Medina, Islam established. The Rasul passes away, the parchment goes. Suraqa goes to Abu Bakr, your Prophet gave me this promissory note that he promised me the wristbands, the bangles of Qisra. So Abu Bakr passed away. At his death, he gave the parchment to Umar, that Suraqah has been promised the, you know, wristbands or the bangles, if you like, of Kisra, of the emperor. So in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the land of the emperor was conquered, and his treasures were opened, and his wristbands were brought to Medina and given as part of the rest of the trophies to the Muslims and to Umar. And Umar said, "What is this?" They said, "This is the wristbands of Kisra." He goes, "Go call Suraqah." So they call Suraqah, old man now, you know, and he entered and he goes, "Here, wear these and testify that the Prophet of God spoke the truth." So he picked it up crying, "Sadaqa Rasulullah, Sadaqa Rasulullah." So, dear ones, a couple of lessons. إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah should help you, nothing will overcome you. So in all affairs of life, keep Allah in your corner, on your side, you know, in your protection, through your good deeds and through your good belief and through your husnul dhan billah. And so long as Allah is with you, I tell my students, I say, ride your horse as you want, nothing will happen. But if Allah Rabbul Izzah turns against you, there's nothing in the heavens above or the earth beneath you that can save you. So they came after him to the brink of the cave. They couldn't. The man took a blade, chased them, and they couldn't touch the hair on his head. And before time of this, they burnt Ibrahim, chucked him in the fire, and Ibrahim's hair wasn't even burnt. You understand that if Allah Rabbul Izzah is with you, nothing can overcome you. Two more lessons and I will end with this. I'll just take the lessons, normal stories, and I'll try. Another lesson, important lesson. Notice that the Prophet ﷺ tried da'wah for 13 long years in Mecca and didn't give up on the people. Learn a lesson from this. And the challenges that you pursue in life, don't give up quickly. You know, you're trying to understand the concept, you try it. I have a student, he wanted to be a hafiz, you know, tried for one day, didn't finish the whole hibs in one day, so you go, "Oh, that's too much, can't be done." Persevere, be relentless, keep going, pursue it. If Allah has written it for you, it will open. So we are not a nation that gives up quickly. Having said that, nor are we a foolish nation to keep going when we know that there is no end to this. Important point. So there came a time where the Rasul's, where Allah Rabbul Izzah ordered the Rasul that Makkah is saturated, your da'wah is better off in Medina now. So know when to change tactics, when to change location, when to change business, when to change a degree, when to, do you understand me? Know when to stop pursuing, and at times it might even be a relationship. Like certain times things become toxic enough that there's enough toxicity for the locality because of you. So khalas, it didn't work this time, you know. I don't mean just the toxic, you know, for kids, you know. And you understand, I don't like to be too frank on these matters. But know when to throw in the towel or find greener pastures and when to move on or find another talent or go to another business. This didn't work. I think the definition of stupidity by Einstein is to keep repeating the same thing and expecting different results. Yeah. So I think that's an important lesson to take from all of this. And the last one, and I will end with this, bi-ithnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, is have courage. And all the states of this story, courage is a real theme that goes through. And a lot of times you're stuck in a situation because of your lack of courage. You know, you're stuck in an ugly career that you don't like because you don't have the courage to go and pursue your dreams. you're stuck in a degree that your parents chose for you and you have no talent for because you didn't have the courage to go and chase your dreams. So have the courage to chase your dreams and not be driven by a fear of failure, because that's debilitating. That's very limiting. You know, I will not do this because in case I fail, not try this business. In case I fail, not get married. In case it fails, not do this. All of these are things that are holding you back. And you're required to have enough courage to climb over these hurdles and face your demons and bi-idhnillah conquer them and go to somewhere better. Much better to have tried and failed than to have failed to try. So for your time and patience, I thank you. May the one above the heavens guide and guard you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.